But here in chapter 4, verse number 7 in 2 Timothy, and we'll look at verse number 6, 7, and 8. And that kind of wraps up, I guess, summary for him. Then we'll go back and look at his life and say, well, how was he able to say that? He had some difficult times. He had some challenges, Paul did. But he's getting down to the end of life's way. He says, for I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith, that's what Paul says. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but to all them also that love his appearing. Of course, you can go and read through the rest of that. He goes through a lot of, lists a lot of those names there, and some of the personal circumstances or situations that had come up in his life. But going through the scripture here and looking at Paul's life, and I jotted down a few, and like I said, that's what I was going to kind of read to you. And the years these occurred in A.D. 58, and that's just the year, the time that's put on that. And again, I knew where it was at in scripture, but I wanted to find the year to that, and you could see how that kind of, in a short time frame, because we think in our life in terms of years, you know, 3 years, 2 years, 5 years, how long that happened, you know. Chad asked Maggie this morning, said, now how long is it going to be before you're driving? Because Jesse drove us here. And of course, I saw Chad back there white knuckled, you know, but he hadn't ridden with Jesse before. He'll be all right going back. But coming in, you know, you just don't know. So he asked Maggie. Maggie said, it'd be 5 years. So we think in terms of years. So in AD 58, Paul was arrested in Jerusalem, what I could find, for the first time. And so when he started, and I don't have an age or anything there, but just in matter of 2 to 3 years, he was in Rome at different times before different rulers, and that spanned about 3 years of his life, which you say, oh, that was a long time. Well, us sitting in here realize 3 years goes by pretty quick. If you'll recall, and I thought about this, last year I was already home with rehab getting ready to go back, and that just seems like it was just 2 or 3 months ago, going back to Houston. You think about others that we've seen come through the church and sickness or illness befall them and they get better, and others that maybe have had family issues or have had to move for a job or whatever, it seems like that might have been just a month or two ago. And as we think through that, it's been several years. We sang about Sister Connie McMurray, her mom, I guess that's passed away, and I could see her face when Brother John said that. I said, oh, well, I remember where she used to see it. I remember seeing her, and that's been several years, but yet, at the same time, it doesn't seem like it's been that long. So in Paul's life, that wasn't that really that long a period of time, just like our lives. Our life truly, 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 our life is like a vapor. It really, really is. And, you know, it's hard to get young people to see that, and when we're young, it's hard to see that, I know, too. But it is very, very short compared to eternity. And so as we look through here, it says Paul's in Rome. I jotted that down in over about a three-year time period. A.D. 64 through 67, and again, I put the year, so because you remember, he was first arrested and there in 58. And well, he'd had some, I guess, run-ins, so to speak, with the Sanhedrin court and the Jews, but that was really as far as when he started his trip to Rome was 58. Then 61, he'd spent some time there. Then year 64 through 67, he was finally released from prison. And at that time, he wrote 1 Timothy and Titus, and he was in Macedonia. And then at the end of 67, up into 68, Paul was arrested again. And in 68 is when he wrote 2 Timothy, at the very beginning of 68, and he was beheaded not long after that. And so I tell you that because as he wrote his last, I guess, letter, which is what you can find here to 2 Timothy, he mentioned these 25 individuals. He's encouraging Timothy to grow in maturity and grow in the Lord, but he also said that he's lived a good life. This is what I get out of that. As you read this, and now I'm now ready to be offered. In other words, he didn't look for somebody to take his place, somebody to slide in for his spot. And as that quote Kim had read me from wherever it was said or wherever it's from, you're not going to find anybody to do that. It's just up to you and your peace with God if you're saved. Or if you're not, you got to face that eternity yourself. You know, preacher was preaching on hell. I guess that was 2 Sundays ago. I see that, right? Yeah, 2 Sundays ago. My mind sometimes, I tell them at school this last week, I was asking this one young lady something, and
I got it backwards, and I told her, I said, well, I've had a lot of chemo. Give me time and I'll get that back straight. And I say that, I kind of laugh, you know. Really, I get it mixed up anyway, whether I had it or not. But I said, let me try to remember that. But I think that was two Sundays ago he preached that. And you're not going to get anybody to take your place there. And that's why it's important. And I spent a lot of time on that, but here's what I wanted to go through. If you'll look in the book of Timothy, so here's a book written by a man. He's been in prison. You know Paul's life. We don't have to go all through that and how he was probably, and talked with Mr. Grizzle before, and he said Sunday school and classes before, if you remember him years back, he'd talk about Paul's education. And, he was trained at the feet of one of the brightest minds at that time, who was a Pharisee and sat on Sanhedrin court, and even mentioned in the scripture, Gamaliel, I guess is his name, and Gamaliel or Gamaliel, however you want to say it. And so we know his education and how he was brought up, know how he was saved and when the Lord saved him. But here's the end of his life and what he has to say, and it's a rejoicing time. And let's look here and said, if you'll go back and see the verses, chapter 2, I believe it is. I didn't mark all these, but I wanted to read chapter 2, still staying in 2 Timothy, because we're just going to look at his life. There goes that nose running again. A couple of verses that just give the theme and the tone, I guess, of his letter. In other words, he's not down and out. In chapter 2, if you look over in 2 Timothy, verse number 15, and he starts giving advice on relationships. In other words, his conduct, how you should need to conduct yourselves. And that's what he's telling Timothy. That applies to us as well. And you think about that, how Paul, what situations he's been in, but yet he says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman, that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of the truth, but shun, stay away from, profane and vain babblings, for they will increase into more ungodliness. You know, a lot of people need to listen to that today. Well, that's right. You know, a lot of what we're hearing from the pulpit today, you wonder sometimes, or I do, I won't put y'all in there, if it's not just vain babblings. Well, what are we hearing? You think about social gospel. I don't feel good when I leave. Well, maybe, something's wrong there. You know, you say, well, I feel good when I leave church. I like what Pastor Rick preached. Well, that's good. And what I mean by feel good, when you feel good, you feel the Holy Spirit working on you. But what I'm saying about feel good with social gospel, pep you up, so to speak. Give you that, what was that? There was something the kids watched, and I saw it with them. And, I can't remember it now. But one fellow was wanting to get home for a ball game. Another fellow said, well, my preacher gets me out in time plenty for the ball game. And so they switched churches so they could get home in time for the ball game. It's some kind of comedy. And anyway, that other one said, yeah, now I'm time home for the ball game. But said, now my wife thinks we got to get her business done or something like that. You know, we're trying to get her work done. And it was more of just a feel good. But anyway, by the end of the episode, she was finished with that. She realized it was just a short-term thing. She realized that there was nothing to it. It was a social gospel. And she just felt better just for a little while. That's usually how that works. And so Paul here is giving that warning. He says, shun profane and vain babblings are useless, for they will increase into more ungodliness. And I'd made a note here, and I don't know where it was from, someone wasn't preaching, or I made a note here kind of in the side. It wasn't this time studying, but I'd noticed it before, that hair splitting. Don't argue over fine points. You know, I've mentioned this before. I remember Darius Horn, Brother Horn. He's gone on to be the Lord now, but if you'll recall, when he was over at the other building, remember sometimes he'd be in the back somewhere, and Preacher Jack, he'd get up there and he'd say, come preach for us, Darius, you know, and he'd get up and he'd preach, you know, and always did a good, fine job, I thought, always did, and sometimes, if not always, I remember he'd bring up his message. You guys would remember that, recall, he'd always talk about that hair splitting, that he wouldn't fall out with someone over just minor details. Something that, now he would as far as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and the crucifixion and resurrection and that, but he said just avoid that hair splitting sometimes. He said that genders strife and confusion. He said just each of you get in the scripture
and then study it out and then discuss it, so to speak. And I remember him saying that more than once. And so that's what Paul's saying here too. And he said in verse number 17, "And their word will eat as doth the canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some." In other words, he gives them an example, which is an example for us as well. Said there's still going to be that going on today. So as he writes his epitaph, as he says, I'm ready, I'm through, I've lived my life, he's also given Timothy and also us some good advice. He said, this is what I've noticed in my experience. I've been in jail. I've been whipped. I've been in prison. I've been left for dead. Let me give you some tips. Let me give you some pointers. You know, I always paid more attention to people if I knew that they've lived that in their life. You know, if I got advice from somebody over anything, you know, I'm trying to think what it may be, something to, you know, do with maybe something's wrong with my car or something at work or going on or something at home or building a house, whatever it may be. I've tried to find advice from people that had done that. They had pitfalls and they wanted me to avoid them. That's exactly what Paul's doing. So as we look here, so that, and we look at chapter 2, verses number 15, if you'll flip over to chapter 4, verse number 2, he'll also mention something else for us as well. He says, we'll look at verse number 1. "I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead, is appearing in his kingdom." And here's to the preaching, talking about Timothy's preaching. He said, "Preach the word." And that's what we need to be listening for, see? You say, well, no, wait a second, that's not the... Yes, it is. It's for us. We set out in a congregation and we attend church and fellowship and take our families to church. "Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine." We need to support our preachers. We need to pray for them. That's right. As Paul gives Timothy here instruction and said they need to be ready to go. And, you know, we think about Coulter, I guess that night that I still remember. Pastor said, "Hey, can you just come here and read this for me?" I tell him somebody about that at work. I said, "Oh," he said, "Oh, can you come read the scripture? I don't have a glass of water. Can you read that?" Next thing you knew, Coulter's preaching. All he did was start reading. And, you know, you think about that. And there he went right on. That's the Holy Spirit working. That was ready to go. Maybe he didn't know he was ready to go, but the Holy Spirit knew he was ready to go. You think about that. That's how that works. And we need to pray for them. Pray for preachers, men of God, as they stand. And that's why I put that in there, because as Paul and mentioned that to us, it's really looking at a whole body of work there of Paul, and he's passing on to us, but that helps them to grow in maturity in the Lord and helps the church to grow. Then us again as the sheep, so to speak, in the fold. So we'll move on. See, as I've noted it, and as I went through this epistle, and I'd mentioned to you the numbers of times he'd mentioned other individuals, and I'd made a note, said, and if you look in one word, this entire epistle, above other words that can be emphasized, is loyalty. Loyalty. And you think about that, and you always say, well, maybe that's integrity too, but loyalty. And you say, what are you talking? Go back over to chapter 1. In 1 Timothy. And again, we're going to stay here the majority of the time, just back and forth. Because there's a lot. I've never really went through Timothy, I guess, like this and tried to look at it and see. And from the standpoint of thinking about it, it's Paul's winding it up. But let's look here in chapter 1, verse number 11. Said in verse number 11 and 12. "So whereunto I am appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles." So he tells up front, so this is who I am. "For the which cause I also suffer these things." He suffered those things for what he's been called to do. Verse number 11, he's already told us what that is. He said, "Cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed. For I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against this day." In other words, he's loyal to the Lord. He's loyal to be a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles. He'd be a type person and he's not going to change who he is or tell you any different based on the crowd he's in. That's right. Remember, you know, we've always heard, and I remember Sunday school growing up, and Chad probably remembers the Sunday school teacher we'd have. She'd talk about, you know, Pharisees, they tie them
them bands and, you know, cloths around the top of their head and have scriptures on it, and they'd stand out in public and pray and want somebody to see them. That's kind of how we were. Think about that, you know. Paul wasn't that way. Now, but he'd tell you who he was. He was a preacher. It says right here. He said, teacher of the Gentiles. I'm an apostle. I'm not ashamed of that. He was loyal. And as we look through there, there's other places we talk about. So he was loyal in what you'd call suffering. Or he was loyal in his service to God. A couple other places here in Scripture I noted. If you go right on over to chapter 2, in verse number 3. So he was loyal in his suffering. He was going to be loyal in his service. And see, I said chapter 2, and it is. So thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Stay with the stuff. Stay on the old paths. It'll pay off. And I know all you guys know that. I mean, you know, we all know that. But it helps to be reminded of that. It encourages you. I don't care how many times you hear something good or positive, it still encourages you. Good news always encourages you. It don't matter how many times you've heard it. Because somebody might say, well, I've heard that before. Yeah, makes you feel good the same time as it did the first, too. Somebody talking about they're getting saved makes you feel good the first time as it did the others. I like reading or having somebody read or reading myself or somebody else read it or about Paul's conversion on the Damascus Road. Every time. That gets amens, and I'm sure there's people in the congregation that's heard that before. I've heard it preached before, and you hear amens all over the church, no matter where you're at. You can be in a tent meeting, you can be in another church, be in a revival somewhere, and they talk about Paul's conversion, how God took the, see how Brother Steve put it a few Sundays ago, God took what was considered the church's worst enemy and turned it into the church's best friend, so to speak, and especially to the Gentiles, preacher, apostle, took him, converted him. Let me move on here because I'm going to get out of time. I've got to remember the prayer, praying out here too. I just come back to my mind. I'll try to keep that in there. But if you'll go on in chapter 2, going down to verse number 9 and 10, talking again about the suffering, wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer. He's not an evildoer, but he says, I suffer as an evildoer, even into bonds, but the word of God is not bound. Therefore I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain salvation, which is in Christ Jesus, with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. That's why I do it. It's what he says. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. Paul wasn't looking for somebody to take his place on the deathbed and at the guillotine. No, he knew his race was over. He knew his Savior. He's ready to go. He was. And he's telling, but before he's going out, he's telling Timothy, now Timothy, here's why I stayed strong. Here's why I stayed with the stuff. Here's why I was able to do what I did. Let's move on here because I'm going to run out of time if I don't. Go over to, let's see here. Chapter number 3. Now let's go right over across the page, I guess. I was trying to look and see. And see, I think, as we read, all this applies to us as well, the same as it did Timothy. Now, I got over about the preaching. Of course, that's to our preachers, and he gives advice. But again, I think it's to encourage us to pray for them. But chapter 3 warns us all that you're going to live in a day, and we see it more today than we ever have. This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come. Now, you'd have to live under a rock to think this. I think everybody agrees it's perilous times. I mean, everybody does. And I say that. Let me see. How am I going to say that? I don't want to get political. But even people that's not in favor of the political climate that's currently in Congress and in the White House, they say it's perilous times. Well, everybody that may be for them, supporting them, they say it's perilous times because everything's going on against everything. You know, there's no peace. There's no coming together. There's more of a division now in this country, it seems like, there's ever been. You know, you got to this past week, and I won't mention his name, but because it's not worth mentioning, but, you know, you get athletes coming out that make millions and millions of dollars, and somehow that makes them knowledgeable about what goes on in the country, in the government. Yeah, that's right. You know, and I have to smile about that. I think, now, Let's see, now just because you're able to shoot a ball or throw a ball or kick a ball, which I like watching it too. I'm not going to say that I don't now. I can't tell you that. But because you can do that, how all of a sudden do you get so knowledgeable about everything? Do they read you into all the Secret Service reports? That's like some of those actors. You know, I can think of one in particular. I won't call his name. He moved to France. You know, he got tired of living in America, moved to France. Of course, now all his movies, you know, is Walt Disney, and he sells them over here, but now he lives in France. But, you know, he comes out, and he talks about how just the country's just in shambles. He won't live here, don't want to pay his taxes, and this, that, and the other. And, you know, what we need to do is straighten out foreign affairs. And I thought, now, how does he know all that? I thought, I have missed something. Maybe they're reading that in the paper somewhere, and I'm getting the wrong paper. Maybe they're getting, I don't know. But you think about that, and so you not only have that just so perilous times, and I use those examples and we laugh, but they would say too, if you ask them, oh, it's perilous times. But if you ask us, ones, people in church, and the pastors, and Sunday school teachers, and going out on Saturday inviting people to come to church, Brother John's talking about how they were out yesterday and said you could keep going and going and there's people everywhere. Perilous times. Perilous times. And that's what Paul's referring to. But everybody would say that now. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy. You know, and as you read those, I've often thought too, it takes more than one verse to even put down what all's wrong with us. Without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Well, you know what? Paul didn't miss anybody. He didn't miss anything. You get out and you look here in the world and you see what's going on. Of course, we're told, and I'm not going to get started on that. We're told here that this is the way it would be, and that's what we're seeing as we look. And you remember, recall a lot of older preachers, and I remember Preacher Jack was one of them, but there's been others as mentioned. And one day I'll remember that guy's name come over and preach. He's in another building, had white hair. I'll remember his name one day. The only preacher I heard him preach one time, but. That's what you'd expect to see. And we should count it a blessing that we're able to see that in our age, so to speak, in our time, in this time of the church age, that we can actually look and say, yes, see, look right here. Those things are going on. Check it off. Let's move on. So loyalty and apostasy, loyalty and service, loyalty and service and suffering, and, of course, loyalty from God. And that's why, as we see here in chapter 4, and we'll look here at the end of the chapter, chapter 4. I said it's chapter 4. Chapter 4. I didn't write down. It is. It's at the end. That's why I looked there the first time. Verses 15, 16. So, Paul talks about loyalty and service and loyalty and suffering and stay true to the Word. You know, loyalty and apostasy. So church is going to be falling away. People's going the wrong direction. But you stay loyal, is what he's saying. You stay loyal. You stay loyal. And you're able to do that because of the way the Lord's loyal to us. And that's what he says. Of whom be thou ware also, for he hath greatly withstood our words. At my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. In verse number 17. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me. You think about that. Stood, that's it. That's why he was able to go to the guillotine. You think, I mean, they took him anyway, but what I'm saying, that's why he's able to write like he is. That goes back to that, and that still sticks in my mind, what Kim read that day. You can pay somebody to mow your yard, drive you around, get you groceries, do about everything for you. Don't even come down to the end of life or come down laying in that sick bed for a while. You got to do that yourself. And that's what Paul said, I didn't have to do it myself. What did he say right here? Let me look at that again. Sorry about that. My eyes got kind of watering there. I couldn't read it all. Let me go back. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and straight, let me see.
I might have to get my glasses off now. And straighten me. Strengthen me. That by the preaching might be fully known. And that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. And that's what Paul said. That's wrapping up Timothy right there. He said, you know what, I'm done. And that goes back to what he says. He said, I am now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. I fought a good fight. I finished my course. I've kept the faith. And if you jump over right across the page in my Bible, in yours you may have to turn. I've got a Bible at home. You have to turn over to get to 15, 16, 17. But this right here is right across the page. He tells you that's why he's able to do it. You think about that. Isn't that a blessing? If Paul passes that along to Timothy, but also passes that along to us, that we can be encouraged every day. It's hard to be that way. I'll be honest with you. And I tell Kim, or Kim tells me, I guess. I'm not telling her anything. But, you know, some days I get discouraged. I guess some of you guys do too. Some days, you know, I don't really want to get up and get going. And she encourages me by saying, get up and get going. That's what I do. I get up and get going. And she's right. I need that sometimes. We all do. But you know, as you read this, you read about Paul and his life, and you never know the differences you might make to someone else. I'll tell you this, and we're done. I went to MD Anderson, like I said, it was last week, and my report, my scan stayed the same, so I thank the Lord for that. And while I was down there, they asked me some questions. They said, what have you been doing? I said, well, I haven't been doing much. I said, I try to mow my yard when I can. I said, I try to weed eat when I can. I drive the golf cart around. I weed eat a little bit. I said, I go to the grocery store when I can. I said, I take my backpack in there and I stuff all my groceries in there, then go through the checkout line. I said, I guess they hope they don't think I'm stealing anything, but I lay my steak out, potatoes, whatever, carrots, whatever I got. So then they called me this week. They said, I got kind of nervous when they called me. I said, yeah, it's Brian. They said, do you mind taking some photos of you shopping and weed eating and mowing the yard and doing stuff like that? And I said, why? They said, it might help somebody else. They said, somebody else is going to have surgery. They said, we maybe can show them that. And said, look, you know, you might be a few things you can get out and do afterwards. So you never know, you know. A lot of times, like I said, I don't want to get up and get going. A lot of you find out I want to get up and get going. Knees might bother you, shoulders, whatever, elbows, hands. But you never know what effect you might have on somebody else. You might have a chance to share the gospel with them too. And like Paul here did with Timothy, which in turn shares with us, here is he wrote that letter to Timothy. Tells why he was able to, as he says here, notwithstanding the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by the preaching might be fully known, that all the Gentiles might hear, and I was delivered. And we might be delivered as well. That's all I got for you this morning. I hope that's been a blessing to you, make you study a little bit, make you think about that a little bit. And again, that's a make you rejoice a little bit, think about what Paul went through, and here we are today. And as the gentleman brought those Bibles that time, I refer back to him a lot. His old stories he told about what people went through just so we'd have the Bible today. And it's time. I got right on time, I believe. Don't forget. Got time to fellowship one another.